the arrival of the novel coronavirus has presented a variety of problems for child care providers, ranging from too many kids to care for in some cases to not enough kids to stay open, and a lack of PPE. And these are on top of the foundational cracks in the industry, which pays providers too little and isn't affordable enough for many parents. For an update on child care in New York, including the distribution of federal funds and the threat of a second wave, we spoke Thursday afternoon to Jen O'Connor, Director of Policy and Advocacy for Prevent Child Abuse New York, which supports policies to strengthen families like access to high-quality child care. Welcome to the show, Jen.
Thanks for having me, Deb.
So throughout the pandemic, I've heard a common refrain about the child care industry, the refrain being that it's on the brink of collapse. Is it still on the brink, or has it collapsed?
It hasn't quite collapsed yet, but I think we are still in crisis. You know, prior to the pandemic, childcare was struggling, struggling to make ends meet and to continue to serve families across the state. And the pandemic has only, you know, really worsened that issue. So, no, I don't think that we are, there's no light at the end of the tunnel at the moment.
Switching up metaphors on me. Excellent. So the state was losing child care providers before we even heard of COVID-19. What has the rate of attrition been like since March? Are we still finding that there are more providers who just can't afford to keep their doors open, or have we been able to hold steady on this line?
Yeah, so the Children's Agenda in Rochester has done research that shows an average of 26 home-based child care programs are closing every single week. We don't know that this is all pandemic related, of course, but it's a sharp increase from the same time last year, so that makes sense. And I think it's safe to say that providers are struggling. Some parents have kept their kids home during the pandemic, or they've lost their jobs and they can no longer afford childcare. So again, the bottom line is that childcare was in crisis prior to the pandemic and things haven't gotten any better.
Can you give us a little context for that 26 a week number? I mean, how many childcare providers are there approximately in the state if we're losing 26 a week?
There are a few thousand in the state. You know, we're talking about specifically with that number, home-based child care providers.
Okay.
And so these are, you know, the folks in your community who generally serve lower income families. And we know that lower income families and Black and brown families have been disproportionately impacted by the pandemic. We know that they are predominantly essential workers, and so they're on the front lines. So we've got a twofold problem here, right? You are an essential worker, low income, struggling to make ends meet, and your child care provider, also an essential worker, closes down. So what do you do?
The CARES Act passed seemingly a million years ago back in March, included about $163 million for the childcare industry. The first round of funding initiated by Governor Andrew Cuomo took, I think it's fair to say, a while to get out. How about the subsequent round of funding announced this summer? Is that money getting where it needs to go?
Sure. So the first round, CARES 1, as you said, went out in the spring. That was for scholarships or free childcare for essential workers. The second round, CARES 2, is going to providers in the form of operating grants. For example, they can purchase things to augment their space in line with social distancing requirements. The awards for CARES 2 were made in August, but money is just now getting to providers. So that's hugely problematic. On the heels of CARES 2 comes CARES 3, which was just announced. That will take the form of additional scholarships. We are certainly very concerned about the length of time that it's taking to get dollars into the hands of providers, and the fact that they have to submit receipts and be reimbursed. And so they're paying upfront, out of pocket. Some of them are taking out loans to keep themselves afloat, and then just crossing their fingers that these awards come through in a timely manner.
And if you're taking out a loan, that means you're paying interest, which means you're not even able to assume access the full amount of money then that you're getting, because you got to use some of it, what, to pay back a loan?
Right, absolutely. And we're talking about people who, you know, don't need to take out any loans, right? They're barely scraping by in a lot of these cases. Certainly the family home-based child care programs are. So, you know, we would, and we have recommended to the state a more simplified process and a much speedier process with any new dollars that may come into the state.
Will that third round of funding exhaust all of the federal money from March?
We expect that there might be a couple of million dollars left over, but we don't have any numbers on that just yet. you know, we had hoped with CARES 3 that the eligibility for scholarships would be expanded. The poverty line was a little low for our liking. You know, if you're a nurse in New York City, you might just be scraping by and ineligible for a CARES scholarship. At the same time, you're an essential worker, you're on the front lines, and we think you should get free childcare during the pandemic. So we had asked for that eligibility level to be increased. The state didn't go for that. So we do think that there may be money left on the table simply because we didn't serve as many families, frankly, as we would have hoped to have served.
We're discussing the state of child care in New York, and our guest is Jen O'Connor, Director of Policy and Advocacy for Prevent Child Abuse New York, which works to strengthen families through programs like high-quality child care. You mentioned that this was a recommendation to increase that income threshold so that some of this support from the federal government becomes more widely available. And if I remember correctly, that was one of the things that was in a series of recommendations that the Child Care Task Force came up with back in the spring. And you say that the state has not embraced this one. What about the rest of the recommendations that the task force came up with? Has the state, Governor Andrew Cuomo, Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul, have they wrapped their arms around any of those recommendations and begun implementing them?
So the final report of the Child Care Availability Task Force will be released at the end of this year. Mm-hmm. And we are certainly hopeful that those recommendations get some play.
But what about the initial document that I think was reported on in the Times Union and elsewhere in the spring about some recommendations from the task force?
Yeah, we did have some interim recommendations. Those did not get the play that we had hoped that they would. Again, I think they resulted in some conversation between the powers that be and advocates and providers. But I can't say that the recommendations went anywhere. The recommendations that we will see in the final report released at the end of the year are not focused on CARES dollars. They're much broader. Mm-hmm. They talk about things like really, you know, transforming the system. And so fingers crossed that we can get some of those, you know, across the finish line.
Transforming the system, as you put it, is that something that involves spending additional money?
I don't think you can do it without spending additional money, frankly, but I do think that there's a huge return on investment. I mean, if we want to see economic recovery in this state at the same time that we see children appropriately cared for and educated, then we're going to have to put some money behind it, just like we did with universal pre-K or anything else that we believe in. So I do think that we're going to have to spend some upfront, but what we've seen in other places that have done things like universal child care, like Quebec, for instance, is that their return on investment is really great and it pays for itself over time.
Moving forward, we're seeing a troubling rise in infection rates all over New York. So I'm curious, do you feel like the providers in New York are prepared for another wave in terms of PPE and just the financial footing to make it through this crisis?
I don't know that we're any better prepared than we were when the world shut down last spring. Providers have stepped up then and they'll step up this winter. But this is why we continue to ask to be at the table to plan for what's ahead. The folks in the field who provide these services to children and families know what they need. They know how to do it. They've been through, knock on wood, the worst of the pandemic last spring. And so they get how to keep their children and families safe. They know what supplies they need. They know how to do it. And so we're hoping that as we think about how to spend any dollars left on the table from existing CARES funding or any new federal funding that may be coming to New York State, that providers and advocates and policy experts in child care are included at those decision-making tables so that we can make this a much more streamlined and effective process going forward.
If there is additional federal funding, it's not going to materialize until 2021 with a Biden administration. And based on New York's track record of distributing federal money so far, with each wave taking seemingly months to be distributed, how realistic is it to expect that money on the federal level will reach providers in a meaningful time frame?
You know, I think we need to remain optimistic but realistic. You know, again, kind of fingers crossed that the stars align and we can bring some dollars into the state and actually figure out a different way of getting the dollars to providers so that they get into the hands of providers right away, and that there's not as much red tape as providers have found themselves up against. But I do think that, you know, if anything, childcare providers are resilient and they are they're figuring it out. You know, I think the issue is that we shouldn't. These essential workers are doing a huge service, and we shouldn't, you know, kind of leave them to their own devices to figure this out at this point. They really need support, like other aspects of the economy that have received support. So, you know, again, I think we're hopeful, but we're certainly advocating with the state and with decision makers to make sure that, you know, some of the people who are in the field doing the work are included in those decisions so that they're not waiting months to get PPE and other supplies. I really can't say enough about childcare providers and how they have stepped up in such a huge way the last 8 months or so to continue to provide services at their own risk, you know, their own health risks, the health of their family, their financial stability. They have continued to do what they are committed to doing. But we really, really hope that the state has a little bit of an awakening and sees, you know, how we need to support these small businesses.
Assemblymember Ellen Jaffe, a Rockland County Democrat, lost her reelection bid this year. She was regarded as a real, I guess, vocal champion for the child care industry. What does her loss mean to you?
You know, I think it's a big deal whenever you lose a champion like that. And there are other legislators who are very interested in child care. And so we've been having conversations with them and will continue to do so. But, you know, that that committee chairmanship will be vacant for a little bit of time. And so we're hoping to get someone really good and committed in there. But I think, as always, we have a lot of educating to do on both sides of the aisle to make sure that the legislature, you know, kind of understands what we're up against here and how important it is to make these investments.
From a political perspective, in terms of how you go about advocating for this, it seems like the dynamic is the legislature has your back to a certain extent in terms of their negotiations with the governor. And by that, I mean, they seem to be promoting policies that are in line with what you want, promoting spending priorities that are in line with what you want. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's always clear that they, I guess, to lack of a better metaphor, go to the mats for you. I mean, is that what you need them to do in terms of negotiating with the governor to make this a top priority for them?
Yeah, we absolutely do. And I think I've been really, you know, pleasantly surprised over the last couple of months that there's a core group of legislators who has joined the advocates for virtual rallies, for a roundtable with the Legislative Women's Caucus, a lot of interest, some sign-on letters that they have sent to the governor's office and to New York State Office of Children and Family Services. You know, I think that they really have had our back this time around. I think they get that this is a real crisis and they're seeing it in their own communities. And frankly, some of them are home right now with their own kids. And I think that when a childcare crisis hits home, you understand it in a different way. So we've been very pleased with their response and we hope, you know, to continue partnership with the legislature. You know, as we get into months of negotiating the state budget, we are well aware that we are in a huge fiscal crisis, and we certainly don't want to make the fiscal crisis any worse. I think, again, we need to see childcare as an economic development strategy, as an economic recovery strategy, and so investing now shoring up the existing providers, making sure that they don't go under, that we don't have more people accessing, you know, public benefits because they're out of work and their childcare program closed, or they have to quit their job because their childcare program closed and they're right. home with a child. You know, we really need to pay attention to that just as much as we've paid attention to some other sectors of the economy, like, you know, malls and restaurants and gyms and that sort of thing.
Well, we've been speaking with Jen O'Connor, Director of Policy and Advocacy for Prevent Child Abuse New York. Jen, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, David.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.